I recently sat down with guitarist Jason Vio and one of the performers that he collaborates with, Julian Lebrow, who plays the bandoneon. They put out a new album recently, Infusion. It's the second album they've done together, and I asked them to tell me a little bit about the history of their collaboration.
Well, I met Julian when I was going, you know, I lived on the east side of Cleveland for a long time, and I used to go to this jazz club called Nighttown, often to have meetings there with Azika Records, with Alan Bice or Bruce Egry, and we would check out this band that we became a fan of called Hot Club of Detroit, and they're this kind of gypsy jazz style group, but they were doing really fresh things with the arrangements and with the writing. They had original, you know, tunes as well. They weren't just playing, you know, Django Reinhardt, Stefan Grappelli type stuff. And this accordion player, you know, was just kind of blowing people. I mean, just really, like, when he would take the solo, it was just like, all right, get ready. I mean, he's gonna blow the roof off the place, you know. And it was great. And we just hang out afterwards in the bar and just talk about music. And I asked how it kind of all started was me wondering if he played bandoneon and if I could find a way to get a booking or somehow playing the double concerto by Piazzolla, which is original work for guitar and bandoneon, a double concerto, would he be interested, you know, in checking that out? And he had already known of me as well with my records from a guitar player in the band, Paul, right?
Paul Brady, yeah.
Yeah. So it just kind of went from there, but actually our initial bookings, even though we made that Piazzolla record in Boston about, I don't know, some couple of years later, initially our bookings were for the two of us. And so Infusion's actually, the new record is a little bit more representative of kind of how we're normally performing, actually. And so this collection is actually some of our, you know, our duo repertoire that we put together over the years, the last 5 years, I guess.
A lot of you are probably wondering just what is the bandoneon, and I asked Julian to explain to us a little bit about the instrument.
The bandoneon is it's from the accordion family, or the bigger father of all that, you could call it the concertina family, and it's it functions very similarly. You have two keyboards on each end, and in the middle you have a bellows, and the bellows propel the sound, and it's got an interesting range of dynamics, I would say, and
pretty big range of dynamics.
Yeah, it can get pretty loud. and what's, you know, my left end is usually the bass sound, what you would call, I guess, the left end of the piano, if you want to visualize that, and my right hand is the same, so it carries the treble or the treble clef, so more the upper notes. And then blending both of them together makes really great chords. It's actually the bandoneon before it made its way to Argentina has quite a fascinating story, because it was intended to play church music in small parishes in Germany that could not afford an organ. So that's why it has a really sort of, it can sustain the sound for a very long time and carry and support. You know, you have to think of it as it was carrying.
It's like a small organ.
Right, yeah, like a pipe organ, and it was carrying choirs, and so it could just provide harmony for them to sing and pitch. And so it has a very lyrical and religious quality to its sound, and yet somehow it finds its way to the end tie. Because it finds its way to the brothels of Argentina, so it went from the churches in Germany to the brothels in Argentina, or Buenos Aires. So it's quite an interesting story.
There's a wide variety of music on this album, and I asked a little bit about the arrangements that were on there, and if there are any original compositions.
Not necessarily original compositions. No. They're more like our arrangements or our take. And our musical styles and DNA infused within pieces that we picked from several composers.
Yeah, and I would say that about half the record is those arrangements are meant to sort of recreate the vibe or the spirit of the original thing, like the Pat Metheny Antonia arrangement or the Tears for Fears arrangement. It's meant to kind of sound like the original, but with these two instruments playing it, you know, playing the rhythm track and the vocal kind of line, but then also allowing for a lot of improvisation in and around it as well. And then say the Rodimus Natali suite, Suite Retratos by the Brazilian composer Natali, and the Esqualo by Astor Piazzolla is really meant to take those pieces in a kind of a different direction. Just, you know, so it's a bit of each of those things.
Jason and Julian are both classically trained musicians, so I asked what are the challenges of expanding their horizons and the repertoire to material like what is on this album, Infusion?
I mean, Jason and I have been fortunate to work together for quite some time now. We've known each other for almost 10 years or something like that.
It's incredible that it's been 10 years almost.
Amazing. And playing music for what, for eight together?
I would say about eight.
Is our second album. Our first album was a direct tribute to the music of Astor Piazzolla, which we were privileged to record with a great chamber orchestra out of Boston, which they're called A Far Cry. And so our first record was perhaps more of what you would expect out of a bandonian / guitar duo,
right.
Although it had an orchestra, but you know, and it's not every day you can get that luxury. But this second album here is perhaps more of our duo project of some of the repertoire through different concerts that we've been putting together, some of the things that we thought worked the best. And so that's how we kind of came, because there's unfortunately a short amount of repertoire for us to draw from. You know, it's not like we have like a ton of violin sonatas or piano trios, you know, chamber piano trios to pick from. You know, we don't have like a Brahms or, you know, Schubert and Schumann. We don't have that luxury. So we have to kind of create a little bit of some of our own thing over pieces that we think we can do justice or offer a different spin on them. And so that's kind of how we pick the material. And as far as while we both classically train, I think we listen to so much music outside of classical music, and I think that definitely gets infused, pun intended, into our playing. And so certainly Jason, you know, is able to groove and play in a pocket like someone growing up in, well, maybe not growing up in an R&B band, but, you know, someone that could play, that could hang in a funk R&B band. And for, I don't know too many classical musicians that can do that, you know, do it well. People think or attempt to do it well. Unfortunately, I find a lot of projects, sometimes it comes a little bit short. What's fascinating is like working with a guy like that, it just gives you, it opens doors musically that you might not think you could go there, and then you try it out, and once you replay the tape, you're like, hey, you know, that sounds pretty good. Or you have other people that tell you, hey, that's the keeper. And so, you know, as long as nobody fires you, I guess you keep going, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the reaction to the music in the concerts was so palpable that it was just kind of like, wow. I mean, it was kind of like on a very simple level, like we really got something going here, and it was really a lot of the arrangements and playing is really kind of off of instinct, really more than anything else.
Many of you listening in are probably familiar with Jason's classical ventures, but you may not be aware of projects like this. So I asked, what's ahead in the future?
Bay City Rollers greatest hits. Just kidding. No, I mean, you know, that's the whole thing. We don't really know. I mean, the thing is also each of us as soloists and collaborators have so many other projects going on, so many concerts to play, you know, every year, that it's more like a sort of a thing that we like to kind of revisit every now and then conceptually, or not even conceptually. It's just kind of when we get the time to, or the opportunity to play together, things just happen. That's how a lot of the arrangements came out. It was like an opportunity to perform together somewhere, and they're like, oh, hey, we need this, or we could do this kind of thing, and then we just start playing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I would say probably since next season, we are already a few concerts lined up. What's going to happen is we'll keep some of the material that's on the record, Infusion, and then we'll come up with new stuff that Jason and I are going to, you know, whatever. He either will send me something and say, hey, how about we'll find something here, what do you think? And then, and vice versa. And then we'll come up with maybe half of the program that's be totally brand new. And from there you build, and before you know it, you have another CD there. You know,
exactly.
I mean, it can be, we've been told like to do some Steely Dan covers. And that's something that, I mean, I've never thought about it, but why not? I mean, I'm not opposed to it, you know. Just like, it's all that matters if it's done well, in that, in sincerity and respect. I think that any genre of music can be tackled with any kind of combination. I just don't think that we should let anything stop necessarily. You know, labels are something of the past. Labeling, oh,
yeah, we don't think about anything like that when we're playing. We
just play music, have fun. You know,
it doesn't even. It's like we don't talk. I mean, we don't really talk much about the music itself. It's really just out of just playing and I mean, you hear a lot of professionals through, you know, if you listen, you know, to enough interviews that are, especially in the jazz world, that they're very familiar with that. There's not a lot of talking. They just kind of get together and run some things down. They got some charts and they kind of take it from there.
Sit down and play.
Yep.
If you're a fan of the classical guitar, I have good news for you. Jason Viau is coming to play with the Richmond Symphony Saturday, February 4th. It'll be at 8 o'clock at the Carpenter Theater, and here's what he had to say about this upcoming performance.
The Dan Visconti concerto that I just premiered last May with California Symphony.
That piece is great.
Yeah, so it's this concerto is just you know, really beautiful. It's called Living Language. You know, not unlike our collaboration that we have, you know, that Julian and I enjoy musically. You know, Dan's coming from a lot of different places. I mean, it's like, you know, there's this Delta blues thing that's really strong with him. And so this concerto starts out with, I mean, I'm probably bending as many notes as I'm, you know, like not bending in this concerto. It's insane. And so it starts out with this kind of, you know, bluesy, but almost kind of East Indian kind of vibe to it with the orchestra, and then the orchestra enters in, and then and things develop and build into these kind of these really heavy groove sections that, I mean, I almost remind me of Led Zeppelin in a couple of spots, but they don't sound like Led Zeppelin. They just kind of sound like his imagination takes over, and it's really it's a single movement piece that, you know, is about, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes long, and it's in several sections, and then at the end the piece just gradually accelerates into this it's very, very difficult piece. Like at the end, I just can't believe what some of the stuff he's writing that the guitarist has to play, but that should be very exciting. It's a wonderful piece.
You can hear guitarist Jason Viau with the Richmond Symphony again Saturday, February 4th, 8 o'clock at the Carpenter Theater. The program including Rossini, Beethoven, and Dan Visconti's Living Language that Jason will be performing. Many thanks to guitarist Jason Viau and his collaborator Julian Lebrow, who plays the bandoneon on their new release, Infusion. Check it out.